This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue on in 1 Peter with Honor Christ is Holy, Baptism Now Saves You, Suffering in the Flesh, Love Covers a Multitude of Sins, and The Fiery Trial. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Oh Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth shall declare your praise. For in you the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Reading from Acts chapter 8. But there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip, and seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Holy Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of the wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." And Simon answered, "Pray for me to the Lord, that nothing of what you said may come upon me." And when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In his Enchiridion, Martin Chemnitz implored pastors to keep before their people the seven deadly sins. Why? Chemnitz goes on to say, so that we might learn to acknowledge and earnestly avoid them. Second, so that if we catch ourselves committing them, we do not obstinately persevere and continue in them impenitently. And third, so that we try all the more to restrain and control the sin that dwells in us. Often when we read or hear the stories of the Bible,
we see ourselves in the characters. The story of Simon the Magician in our reading this morning illustrates what happens when we are driven by envy. Simon was a magician or an illusionist. He was not a wizard with greater control of unseen forces than the mortals around him. Simon impressed people with his magic, and he tricked them into believing that he was someone special, a great man. Some even believed that Simon was one of the gods, like Hercules, who had descended to the earth. Simon was living an illusion, a sham, and he knew it. Though he was respected by some and revered by others, he knew his life was all smoke and mirrors. This may be one of the reasons why he was open to the gospel message preached by Philip, and he believed and was baptized. Conversion takes place instantly. We are declared righteous before God for Christ's sake. Baptism saves now. Yet sin clings to our flesh. When Simon saw the power of Peter and John, when they bestowed the Holy Spirit on the new Christians, envy welled up inside of him. The people spoke in tongues, prophesied, healed the sick, and performed other great signs and wonders when they received the Holy Spirit. Simon knew he wanted to do those things also. Even more, though, Simon wanted to be the one to give the Spirit to the people. The envy in his heart drove him to offer Peter and John money if they would teach him how to conjure up the Holy Spirit. Simon thought the Holy Spirit was just a trick that was similar to the ones he had performed. Peter and John rebuked Simon. Envy isn't to be the driving agent in motivating Christians to seek the gifts of God. Rather, the Holy Spirit is God's gift, not to be bought or in any way earned. To illustrate further, in his fantasy trilogy, The Lord of the Rings, J.R.R. Tolkien introduced a small character in whom envy was a major driving force. The third film from the Lord of the Rings series gives us a glimpse of how envy was hatched in the life of a man who would be known to succeeding generations as Gollum. The man named Smeagol allowed envy to take root in his life and to control it. And eventually, envy turned the man into a miniature monster called Gollum. The story of Gollum is a powerful one for us because it resonates in our hearts and we acknowledge the core truth that it holds. We have, at various times in our lives, in the struggle between that old man and new man inside of us, allowed envy to transform us into miserable, wretched little creatures. We may be uncomfortable admitting it, but we have to resonate with Gollum and with Simon. We know envy can be a force in our lives all too well. Think back, for instance, to Christmases of your past. Do you remember as a child that envy played a part in your holiday celebration? Did you ever wake on Christmas morning to count the packages under the tree to see if you had more than your siblings or one of them had more than you? Did envy show its ugly head if your brother or your sister or a friend had a gift that was better than yours? Or think back no further than just last Wednesday and Tuesday evening of last week. Did you hear about another assignment that you think better suited you? Did you hear about another placement that you think better suited you? Did you think that one of Dr. Pulse's caricatures of how placement is accomplished might be true? Rather than the ongoing prayers of all those involved in the process, asking for guidance of the Holy Spirit every step of the way until it was spoken from this pulpit last week. Envy is not a neutral force. When it is unleashed, it powerfully affects our lives. Envy makes us angry. We become angry at our circumstances, at other people, at God. Envy inflames frustration. We want something that someone else has, and we cannot steal it from them, and we can't get it by our own hard work and dedication. Envy, in the end, robs us of happiness, of the joy we just sang about in the hymn, and of the peace that God gives us. Repent. The opposite of envy is contentment. Envy is not a part of the baptized life that is ours through the death, resurrection, and life of Christ. An envy-controlled life does not make a powerful and convincing witness to God's love and power within us. The virtue of contentment is part of the baptized life that God invites us to experience, and a characteristic that gives our lives a powerful witness to all those around us. We can turn our backs to envy, though, through the power of the Holy Spirit. While Paul was in prison, suffering for the gospel of Jesus Christ, he wrote in the fourth chapter of his letter to the Philippians that, "I have learned that in whatever situation I am, to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." What was the secret that Paul had learned that enabled him to be content? Whatever his circumstances, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Contentment comes from basking in God's love shown to us in Jesus Christ. Contentment comes from remaining connected to his word and sacrament, his pulpit and his altar, the vine and branches of this week's gospel lesson. Contentment comes from rejoicing in the blessings that we have received. And contentment comes from resting in the faith that God has us in the palm of his hand. Like its brother sin, pride, envy is rooted in our self-centeredness. Jesus died to free us from that. Jesus has broken the chains of our selfishness, pride, and envy, and he has given us the victory over them. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus has opened to us a baptized life of love and service to God through the love and service that we give to one another. So, with Paul in Philippians again, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Faithful to be of one will, grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world our hearts may be fixed where true joy are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Merciful God, we humbly implore you to cast the bright beams of your light upon your church, that we, being instructed by the doctrine of the blessed apostles, may walk in the light of your truth and finally attain the light of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May the Lord Almighty bless us and direct our days and our deeds in his peace.
Amen.